We begin the current daven, set the Shavuos daf chav beis. We begin four lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the previous Mishnah, where there was a machlikis between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in the halacha of what is the liability of eating from something that a person took an oath that he's not going to eat. Rabbi Kiva said a kol shu, even a minute amount. Chachamim said, where do you ever find that you have something less than the kezayis that you can be chayiv on as a yisr chila? To which Rabbi Kiva had responded, as our Gemara quotes, Amalehen, Rabbi Kiva said to them, well, Heichen mitzinu b'medaba may be carbon. Where do you ever find that someone says words which makes him liable for carbon? Shazem medaba may be carbon. Here is unique. Yeah, Shavuos is different than a regular Isser. Because here, it's a person's words that makes it forbidden and makes him liable for carbon that eats it, and therefore could even be in the kalshu in contrast to other Isserim. Now, regards to Rabbi Kiva's response, the Gemara says, V'loi? Why, and there is no other cases when the person's words will make him liable for a carbon? V'hari megadif, but you have a blasphemer, someone that's Mevarach Hashem, which Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbanim Masechtas Kris and Avzayin Medalf, and he says, a megadif brings a carbon for blaspheming for a person's own words, he's medabin, he's maybe carbon. Why is he saying that this is the only case of Shavua when you make an oath that your medabin may be carbon? Says the Gemara, medabin v'eisa karminim. What we, Rabbi Kiva, was saying was that a person with his own words can say something and make something prohibited. This is a permitted piece of meat. By using his word and taking an oath, it makes it forbidden. In contrast, v'hai medaber v'chaytehu, a megadiv, yeah, you could be chayv a carbon with your words, but it's not as unique as a shvu that you're making something forbidden, which was permitted by Hashem. You're making it forbidden with your words to be chayv a carbon if you eat it, in contrast to megadiv who talks and is a sinner, and therefore brings a carbon. But the Gemara asks, v'hari nazir, but you have similarly a nazir who is medaber, and with his words he makes something forbidden, which is any wine derivative product, where he has to also bring a carbon because of his naziris on the day that he shaves off all his hair when he finishes his naziris. And that says the Gemara, maybe karbane al dibura kamina. What we were talking about, Rabbi Kiva, in the Mishnah was that a person can make something forbidden with his words, and the carbon that he has to subsequently bring is for the words itself. Where, like in the case of an oath, where he went, he was machlef, his dibur, he went and he didn't do exactly as he had said. V'hai may be carbon, but in contrast, a nazir, when he brings the carbon, lishtarui lechamahu dekamaisi, he's only bringing a carbon to then permit himself to go ahead and partake of wine products. But the carbon is not there as an atonement for the words that he said himself. So that wouldn't qualify to the distinction of what Rabbi Kiva was saying is only by a shvua. But the Gemara is v'hari hektish, but you have hektish, where if a person with his words goes and makes something forbidden by saying that it's hektish, it belongs to Hashem, and if he's machlef dibur, he goes against the words that he said, and he derives benefit from it, he has to bring a carbon for that thing itself, a carbon of me'ilah. Says the Gemara, but eisul la'atzmei kamina. What we were saying was something that he makes forbidden just for himself. That's what an oath is. I say, this piece of meat is forbidden on me. In contrast, v'hai eisul kala olam kulehu. Hektish makes it forbidden to the entire world. So therefore, again, it's still a unique distinction that's only for Shavua, with his words that's making it forbidden, that's what the carbon comes on, and it's only forbidden for himself. But the Gemara Svari Kanama is, but you have a Kainim, which is a terminology of a neder, where he says that this piece of meat is going to be forbidden, he's only making it on himself. And if he eats from it, the assumption of the Gemara right now is, he has to bring a carbon me'ila, because the word Kainim is a terminology of hektish. So therefore you find the case of neder that has all the qualifications you were describing, and therefore it's not only unique to Shavuos, it applies to neder too. So the Gemara, no, ksava ein me'ila b'kinomis. Rabbi Kiva holds that, which is a machlekes, that there is no me'ila by a kainim. And the reason for that is because you cannot say, as the Pasuk says, v'yikra hei mikotshe Hashem, because ultimately a neder is chulin regarding every single person. It's not hektish, doesn't belong to Hashem. For this person, it's forbidden. So although the terminology of kainim, of a terminology of hektish, applies for a nether, but it does not have the halach of hektish, and there is no carbon. So if again, it doesn't qualify for it, Rabbi Kiva was saying is unique to Shavua, which is medaber umevi carbon. That is only as we specified all the criterion by Shavua and by nothing else. Now, the Gemara goes back to explain the machlekes in the Mishnah that we're talking about of Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim regarding what's the liability for someone says something's forbidden to him. Is he chayiv only what's usually the share achilik, the Chachamim said of kezayis? Or is it even like Rabbi Kiva said, even a kosher, even minute amount? So Amar Rabbi qualifies the machlekes and he says, machlekes bestam. The machlekes was only when a person says unspecified that this is, I'm forbidden to eat this piece of meat. Avabim mefarish, but if he specifies whatever amount he's saying, Everyone would agree, even the Chacham, that if he specifies even a small and minute amount, less than the Gezayis, I'm making myself forbidden on through an oath, that of course he's going to be forbidden and have to bring a carbon even that small amount. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? As we explained this in the previous daf, Mefarish Nami Kiber Yadami. When you specify, it's like a creature, just like everyone agrees by forbidden items to eat, besides Reb Shimon, that it's only with a Sher Kezayis, but everyone agrees that an ant, which is smaller than that, since it's a complete creature, one is chayiv. Here also, when you specify, you're giving it distinction, and therefore everyone's going to agree that you can be chayiv for that small amount. Moreover, another qualification from Amar Rava, he says, Machlekes b'shaloi oichel. Their whole machlekes was only if the wording in the oath that he took was, I swear I'm not going to eat. Av b'shaloi etim, but if he swears I'm not going to taste, the Rakob culture there, everyone agrees that it's even a minute amount that is forbidden on to have to bring a carbon. Says Gemara Peshitta, obviously, it didn't say Achil, it's saying Tima. Says Gemara Maudetim, what would you say, Litoim Nami, that even when he uses the terminology of tasting, it's a terminology of eating? Because Kedami Inchel, like people say, let's taste a little bit. And what they really mean to say is, let's eat. So therefore, even when he says the terminology of Tima, you would think the Chacham would hold, it has to have a share Achila of a Kezayis. And that's what Rav is saying, that no, there the Chacham would agree that one would be chayav on a carbon, even a kol shu, for having violated that shavua. Another qualification, Amar Rav Papa. He says, Machlekes b'shavuas. The whole machlekes in our Mishnah is regarding an oath. Ava b'kainamas, but if he takes what's called a neder, which generally an oath is on the person, I will not eat, it's on the action, the conscious, a kainam, a neder is on the object itself. Says a puppet devriya, a kol b'kolshu, everyone in the Chacham would agree that the isra of the neder is even a minute amount to create a liability of violating the isra of a neder. Says a puppet, my time, what's the reason? Because kainam is nami, by a kainam, there also applies the concept, kiven the lekomat kishmad achila, you don't mention, there's no action applied by a kainam, a shvu is on the person, so you think it's the action, I'm not going to eat. So eating, the Chacham say, what's a shir of achila? It's a person doesn't usually eat less than the kezayis. That's how much is the she'achil. Contrast by a koinim, it's not the person, it's the object. You don't mention eating, so it could mefarish them. It's like you're specifying there should be even a minute amount. That's how a papa qualifies the machlekes. And that is the Gemara Meisiv. The Gemara asks on a papa's qualification for the following brisa. The brisa says, Shnei koinomais, which is if someone has two loaves of bread that he made forbidden to him based on a neder of koinim, says the brisa, mitzdarfin, so they both combine, meaning a little bit of this loaf of bread and a little bit of this loaf of bread will combine, if a person eats from it to the size of a kezayis, that he violated his neder. Shtei shavuos, on the contrast, if there's two loaves of bread that he took an oath not to eat those loaves of bread, ein mitzarfa, says Tanna Kamma, there they do not combine. And as the Gemara is going to later on explain the reason for that. Now, right now the Gemara's assumption is that by a shavua, it does not combine because you mentioned a separate achila on each loaf of bread. So therefore, they're not going to go ahead and combine one with the other because each one has to have its own shear of achila, which a kezayis it can't combine from the other loaf of bread. Remeir, he says, no, kainamis kishvuis, which according to the reading that we have over here is that just like shvuis are not mitzdarfin, so too kainamis are not going to be mitzdarfin. But one thing the Gemara asks on Rav Papa is v'isa gadai techayv b'kolshu. If you are saying, like the Gemara said, like Rav Papa had said before, that everyone agrees, even the Chachamim, that regarding a kainim, there's a liability, even minute amount, because you don't mention achila. So lamali letzarif. So what's this homachlik? Is what's the brisa talking about? Wait, let's say the Tanakam is saying that by kainim there'll be mitzarif, or shavuos and akum mitzarif, siruf combination. What do you have to combine a kainim? Each one, even minute amount, you're saying a kainim is chayv. You don't need a shir kezayis to have a combination. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. The Amar, because the wording he used when he made the kainim on these two loaves of bread, although it's on the object, but he said, achila mizu alai kainim. Yeah, it's on the object, but when he puts it back on himself, he says, eating from this on me is a kainim. Achila mizu alai kainim. And eating from this loaf of bread is on me a kainim. So when he makes the object, the subject of the nether, a prohibited item, he used the terminology of eating, and therefore has to have a share of achil, and that's why the Chacham need a share kezayis, and that's only going to be if we combine the two of them, because he didn't eat from each one the kezayis. That is the Gemara, but then but then why is it that by the case of Kainim, the Tanakhama say that they combine? Saif, saif, at the end, if you look at this loaf of bread, you didn't have a measurement of achila of kazais. And if you go to this loaf of bread, Yosef didn't have a share of kazais. How do they combine? Each one is only prohibited through a measurement of a kazais. Says the Gemara, no, because the Amar, the wording that he used was, achila mishtehen alai kainim. The consumption of both of these two loaves of bread are going to be forbidden to me on for eating. Now, eating is a shikazayis, but both of them together. Both of them together are one kind, and therefore they could combine for the shira of achila of a kazayis. And that is the Gemara. Well, then the kavasaka b'shavuos, then to go back to the other case. Then the same thing should apply to oath. The Amar, that the parallel case of where we said kainim will be mitzarev and shavuos will not be mitzarev, has to be the same case. So the Amar would be told me that he said, shavuos shaloi oichel mishtein, I swear that I'm not going to eat from both of these loaves. Then the question is, am I in mitzarevin? Then why be oath do they not combine? But on both of them, one terminology of eating was said on both of them. So if a person eats a gezayis of both of them, why doesn't it combine by an oath? So Amar Penthes, he says, it's not a difficulty, because Shani Shavuos, oaths are different than a kind of than a nether, because Miteich Shechalukas L'chatois, since they divide regarding a liability of a carbon chatas, where these two loaves of bread are considered two different isurim regarding a carbon chatas in this oath. Where if, let's say, a person says, I swear I'm not going to eat from this loaf of bread and from this loaf of bread, and he eats a kezayis from this one and kezayis from this one in the same lapse of awareness, where generally if you do one isur and one lapse of two isurim and one lapse of awareness, but it's the same isur, you're only liable for one. Here the halacha is, there's going to be chayah for two karbanis. As actually we'll learn the Mishnah later on, where if let's say the person says, I swear I'm not going to eat from wheat bread, from barley bread, from spelt bread, and he eats, then he's chayah on each and every one. Which that's brought in the Brice and Teres Kayanim from the Pasik Vahi Ki Yashem La'achas Me'ela, which tells us that you're liable for each one individually. So therefore, says the Gemara, says Rav Pinchas, that the same thing would apply over here when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat from this one or from this one. That's considered like two different oaths, and therefore when he eats from each one, he's going to be chayv, eats from each one the shir kezayis, he's going to be chayv a separate karbachadis in each one. So therefore, he extends this and he says, when he eats from this one, a half of a shir, and he eats from the other loaf, a half of a shir, ein mitstarfois, they're not going to combine. Why? Because we view them as distinct. How do we see we view them as distinct? Just like when you eat a shir of kezayis of each one, you're chayv each one is of carbon. That means you don't see it as one big iser. You see it as two different isurim. So if you view them as two different isurim to be chayv, so to be eating a half a shir of each one, we're not going to be able to combine them. In contrast, by kainamais, there we do not differentiate them and separate them for a carbon asham. Meaning, even according to the one who holds yesh me'ilah by kainamais, and you are going to be chayv a carbon asham for having benefit from a nether, if you benefit from this loaf and then you go ahead and benefit from the other loaf with one lapse of awareness, you're only going to be chayv one carbon asham because it's considered all one me'ilah. As the Mishnah teaches in the Masechet Me'ilah, Chof Med Aleph, where the combination of me'ilah through an extended period of time, where if there's two laps of awareness, then even from one loaf you'll be chayiv two. So too regarding lashes, if it's one warning, you're going to be chayiv only one. If there's two warnings, then even from one loaf of bread, so that's like the case of what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Makis, where he was warned and he was warned again, where it says, let's say someone was a nazir, and he was drinking wine the whole entire day. So the Mishnah says he's only liable for one. As we're saying, that's the concept, in contrast to Shavua, you're only chayiv one. But if they keep on telling him, don't drink, and he drinks, and don't drink, and he drinks the whole entire day, then he's mechayv for each one individually. But one thing we see is that regarding kainamis, we do not separate regarding the karbonas of asham. When eating a shear of, let's say, kezayis of this loaf of bread, which is forbidden on the nether, and then eating kezayis of this loaf of bread, if in one lapse of awareness, you only mechayv one. So therefore, we view it as one unit. So yeah, if you eat a half a share from this one, half a share this one, they're going to combine. It can't just by Shavua. The halach is, as we'll see in the Mishnah Amud Beis, that we view each one individually to be chayv separate karbachatas in each one. Oh, okay, if you eat each one individually, so then you cannot combine, even if the wording you're saying is, I swear I'm not going to eat from both of them, you're not going to combine the half a share of one to the half a share of the other one, and that's why the Tanakhama says that kainamas are mitzdarfin, and shvuas are not mitzdarf. But again, it's not difficult on what Rav Papa had said, that, what I mean, kainam is even the mashu, because here he used the terminology of a chila, and therefore has to have a share of a kezayis, even by the case of kainam. But the Gemara continues and asks, Iachi, but if that's the case, the way we're explaining, then Reb Meir Oimer Kainamis Kishvuas. Rav Meir had disagreed with the Tanna Kamma. He says that no, not only is Shavuos not mitzdarf, but Kainamas are also not mitzdarf. So on that the Gemara asks, Bishlam Shavuos, I understand why Rav Meir would hold by the case of oaths that do not combine. Well, again, we just described what the case is. When the person says that Achila Mishtein Olai Kainam, which is the same case Tanna Kamma, Rav Meir is disagreeing. So we understand why Bishvuas he would say that they don't combine Hailvachalukis Lachatois, because as we just said before from Rav Papa, that we said from Rav Pechas, that since they're different regarding carbon chat, each loaf is considered distinct regarding a liability of chatas, so then we understand why that's not going to combine. El Kanamas, I might lie. But why is it that he holds a Kanamas not being mitzdarf? Why? We said that according to everyone, they're considered as one carbon asham for all of them, so they're all one iser. Why would the loaves of bread not combine? So Zigmo, you're right, epoch. You have to switch around the wording of Rav Meir. It's not that he says that kainamas are like shvuas, but Rav Meir aim is shvuas ki kainamas. Rav Meir holds that the oaths are like kainamas, meaning just like Tanna Kamma said kainamas, they do combine, so too, by shvuas, they're also going to combine. Because even though, seemingly we said that, they're chalukas, they're different each loaf, how do they combine? It's because says the Gemara, Valesle, Lidra Pinchas, Rav Meir does not hold of this halacha of Rav Pinchas that they are considered distinct for Karbonas Chatas. In other words, as Rashi explains, if we had not switched around the attribution of Rav Meir's opinion, rather we would say that, oh, Rav Meir holds by Kainamas, they're actually not mitzdarv, because he doesn't hold of the halacha of Pinchas, then we would have a difficulty both by Shavuos and by Kainamas, why do they not combine? What do you mean, on both of them, he only mentioned one achila? Of course it should combine. But now that we're saying that he holds that they both do combine, and okay, we could say, because he doesn't hold the regard of Pinchas, so that's not a difficult, because since he says one achila, so just like by Kainamas it's mistarf, so the Bishop is being mistarf, because he doesn't hold the Chiddush of Pinchas, that we consider each one a separate entity, chalukas, for chatas, so therefore they're not going to combine. We may hold, no, we are still going to combine, because one achila was said on both of these loaves, which he took an oath. That was one approach in resolving Rav Papa from the Braisa that we had asked on it. Ravinama, he goes back to answer the question from the Braisa, where again Rav Papa had said that Machlekes in our Mishnah was only by Shavuos. Kanamas, he says, everyone agrees that even also by Kol Shavuos, which the question we had from the Braisa was, what do you mean? The words of the Braisa, Shnei Kanamas Mitzdarf, and it sounds like it's not enough for the Kol Shavuos, you have to combine. So he answers, he says, Kikam Rav Papa, when did Rav Papa say that by Kanamas, everyone, even the Chum, agree that the liability is going to be even with a kosher, a minute amount, and you don't have to do any combinations? That was Le'inyin Malkus. That was said only regarding the liability of lashes. That's when he said it. Kitanya hi, when did we have this brisa that said that they will combine, meaning, but you see, you need a combination, you need to have a shear? That was Le'inyin Carbon. That was regarding being liable for a carbon me'ila, of misappropriation of something of hektish, where the combination was not for a kezayis, but rather it was the be'inin shav pruta, which in the halachas of hektish, the minimum amount of being liable for me'ila is a worth of a pruta, the lowest denomination of currency. That's what it was combination. So it doesn't contradict. He was talking about malchus, which is even a kolshu, and the brayso was talking about the halacha of carbon. Now that asked the Gemara, lememer the sabri abban and yesh me'ila b'kanamis? Is that to say that the Chacham's opinion is that there is me'ila b'kanamis? And that's what you're saying. You're saying they who disagreed with Meir are saying they combine for what? For a carbon. Oh, that means to say by a kainim, which is what they're talking about, there's a carbon, which is only if you hold it as me'ila, because generally you say by nedid there's no carbon, but shvuah there's a carbon. Shvuah is bitui, but by me'ila there's no carbon. Only if you say that there's me'ila, on that asked the Gemara, do the Rabban hold this me'ila b'kanamis? But Ratan, you learn the Braisa that says as follows, Kikuzu Hektish. Someone says, this loaf of bread is Hektish. It's considered the domain of owned by Hashem. Va'achla, and then he eats it, Bein Hu Bein Chaver, whether he eats it, his friends eats it, doesn't make a difference. Mal, whoever eats him, it is misappropriating from Hektish, and is Chai with all its liabilities. And Lefikach Yesh Lepidyon, says the first opinion, therefore there is redemption, meaning its redemption will take effect, and the Hektish item, if one is transferring the sanctity, the Hektish item will go out and be deconsecrated. Because by Hektish, the Pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin, Ufod the Be'erkecho, you can redeem it in its value. By Hektish, there is such a concept as pidyon, as redeeming it. In contrast of, let's say he says, Kikir zu alai Hektish. He says, this loaf of bread is on me Hektish. So harei hu mal. So if he eats it, he misappropriates. Chaver lemal. If his friend eats it, it wasn't on anyone else forbidden as hekdesh, only on himself. If his friend eats it, he didn't misappropriate it. Lafikach ein lapidyon. Therefore, there's not going to be redemption to permit that item that he made forbidden, because there's no redemption on something that's a prohibited item. On hekdesh, there is, but hekdesh is something that's forbidden for everyone. If you made it forbidden on yourself, well, that's not something that would apply for the halachic concept of pidyon. That's the Rameh's opinion of Rameh. We continue on Tamid Beis, the Chacham's opinion, which is whose opinion we want to get to. They say, Beinu bein chaver loymal. No, whether him or his friend. In this case, when he says, this loaf of bread is forbidden on me like hektish, no one's going to be misappropriating. Lafi she'ein me'ila by kainamis. There is no misappropriation by kainamis. A neder doesn't have the halach of hektish. So you see, not like what we said before. The whole premise of the Gemara's answer of Ravina to resolve the contradiction with Rav Papa and the Braisa was, oh, Rav Papa says kosher that one agrees to is only by Malkus. Then the Braisa that says that you need to have a shear, that's what would combine the two loaves of bread for a kainim, that's for carbon. Carbon, me'il b'kainamas? What do you mean we see that Chacham hold that there is no me'il b'kainamas? Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. Epoch, you have to switch around the opinions of the Braisa you just quoted. It's the other way around. Echad ze ve'echad ze loymal. The first opinion that was said in the Braisa was saying that both him and his friend are not going to be committing me'ila. Lefi she'ein me'ila b'kenomis de Remeir. Remeir was the one who said there's no me'ila b'kenomis. The Chacham Ayrim, they're saying the opinion what we originally said at Rav Meir. No, hu mal v'chaver le'mal. He's committing me'ila and his friend did not commit me'ila. So we see the Chacham's opinion is, as we're answering for Ravina, for the question on Rav Papa, that there is me'ila b'kenomis. But then the Gemara still has a difficulty. Iyachi, but if that's the case, that you tell me the Meir holds that there is no me'ila b'kenomis, now let's go back to the previous braisa. Remeo Eime, he said, Kenamis Keshvuas. He said that just like, in the first answer, the Gemara had switched it around, but the general reading of the braisa, which Ravina is giving a different answer, has the reading as that just like Shvuas are not mitzdarf, so Remeo says, so too Kenamis are not going to be mitzdarf. Now, the wording, the way that sounds like is that, okay, Ele Kenamis, it's Terufa Huloi Hudele mitzdarfi. So, the only thing that we're saying is that Kainamis is not going to be combining. Meaning, Remeir is saying, I disagree with you on one point, meaning that a Kainam will be like a Shvu, just like a Shvu is not Mitzdarf, so the Kainam is not Mitzdarf. But it sounds like how Me'ila is Bu. But Me'ila, that there is. Meaning, on that point, Remeir is agreeing to the Chachamim that there is going to be a Karban Me'ila. Because that's the whole point of the Tanakama, that they were saying that it is going to be Mitzdarf to be Chayav a Karban. So Remeir is agreeing that there is Me'ila. He's just disagreeing regarding if it combines or not. And that is the Gemara, but Vam Remeir, Me'ila b'kenamis klal. But you're telling me now, in the way you're switching around the opinions in this second Braisa, that Remeir holds that there is no Me'ila. So how could he hold that it's just not going to combine? Sounds like, oh, it won't combine. But if it had its own share, you would be chayav a carbon. How you chayav a carbon? There's no Me'ila. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. L'devreim d'rabbanan kamalahu. He was only talking back to the Rabban according to their own opinion. In other words, he was telling them, Lididi, ein me'ila b'kenamis klal. According to me, the whole discussion doesn't start. Forget about combining. Even if it had a shear, there's no me'ila b'kenamis. But Lididchu, what Remeir was telling them was, according to you, that you hold that there is me'ila b'kenamis, but idli mihas the kenamis keshvuas, but at least agree to me that kenamis are like shvuas, that they don't combine. So there, even if you hold that there's a carbon because you hold there is me'ila, but in this case of two loaves of bread, they shouldn't combine. And therefore, you should not be chayav a carbon. Whereas Rabbanan, no, they hold, no, Shavuos ikedira Pinchas. By oaths, yeah, that we agree to your Meir that they're not going to combine because, like Pinchas said, since they're chalukin lechatois, so they're chalukin even that they don't combine. But Kainamis, like ikedira Pinchas, but Kainamis, there is no halacha of Pinchas because you're not chayav a separate carbon ashram on each one of the Kainamis of the lobes, and they're reviewed as one thing, and therefore they will combine, and that's the understanding of the machlekes between Remeir and Rabbanan. In that braisa, and if Ravina's answer for Rav Papa does make sense regarding that he's saying that Rav Papa was only going in the kol shehu, that Yechayev, according to everyone, was regarding Malkus, but regarding carbon, that's what the braisa was saying, that you do need to have a shear, and that was the machlekes for Meir and Rabbanan, if you were going to combine the two loaves of bread or not. Continuing on these halachas, Amar Rava. Rava says, let's say someone says, shvur shaloi oichel, he swears he's not going to eat. Va'achal offer, and he does eat, but he eats dirt, he eats dust. So that says Rava Pata, he's exempt because that's not something that's edible. It's not something of consumption. It's not considered something that he was made forbidden to eating because it's only something that's usually eaten that he made forbidden in his oath. But by Rava, a related question Rava has is, let's say Shvur Shala Echel Offer. Let's say someone swears, I swear I'm not going to eat dust. I'm going cold turkey on dust, no more anymore. But he specifically says that he's making Asr for him to eat dust. So Bakama, how much is forbidden for him based on this oath? As the Gemara explains the question. Kivin to Amar Shala Echel, since he said I'm not going to eat. So like we said in the opinion of the Chachamim, so Daitik Kazayis. We said eating usually means the shear of a Kazayis. So therefore, he intends to make forbidden for himself the dust only in the measurement of an olive. A dilmo, maybe kimin de lav midi de achli inchi, who dirt, dust, not something that people usually eat. So therefore, it's even makol shu. It's going to be even a minute amount because achila is only usually because that's how people usually eat. But no one eats dust. So therefore, when you're making forbidden eating of dust, it would be even a minute amount. Take a let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha is in that situation. But then the Gemara continues, Bayi Rava. And he has the following question. And this is based on the presumption of the previous question that he had, that one would be chayiv, even a kol shu, regarding dust. He has the following question. Bayi Rava, shvur shala ichel chartzen. Let's say someone swears, I'm not going to eat a grape seed. But come, how much is the measurement? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Kivin mesachal adei taruba, since grape seeds are eaten in the combination, when you're eating grapes, you'll eat the grape seed with it. So daite akizai, so his intention is, how do people usually eat grape seeds? With grapes, which therefore that's a regular achila that people do, and therefore the measurement is the size of an olive, like all types of shvus. Or maybe kivin deloy be'eni achle le'inchi, since people don't usually eat it as it is, so daite amashu. So therefore his intention is, similar to the case, meaning in other words, like we said, if you're going to say that by dust, it's going to be a mashu. So here also, do we say that the grape seed is the same thing? Because grape seed by itself is also something that people usually don't eat. And therefore, just like dust. Just like dust, if you're saying you're not going to eat it, you mean even by a small amount, so too over here by grape seed? So the Gemara take a let it stand. It's not clear what the halacha would be in that situation. Now the Gemara continues and says, and let's say you're going to say that by a regular person, for a grape seed, it is going to be the share of a kezayis. Because when people usually eat it, they eat it together with the grapes, and then it's the normal type of eating, and therefore that's a share of a kezayis. But then on that, the Gemara has another question. By Ravashi, Nazir sha'amer shvur shle'a ochel chartzen bekama. Let's say not a regular person, but a Nazir. Nazir is someone that's forbidden to have from any grape, wine, grape derivative. He swears that he's not going to eat grape seed. How much is the share for him to violate that oath? As the Gemara explains the question. The kivin the kezayis isur deraisa, who is sinned for a nazir. Biblically, he's already forbidden, without his oath, to partake from an olive size of grape seed, because that's part of the isra of a nazir. And therefore, he knows that his oath is not going to take effect on that, because he's already obligated from the previous neder. So therefore, the shvu is not going to be chal on that dvar mitzvah that he already has. So therefore, do we say kiko mishtabeya? So if he's taking an oath, must be ahateru kumishtabeya. Must be he's trying to make himself a bit of an oath on what's still permitted to him, what's less than the kazayis, where that he's not mushbul of Mahar Sinai, that's not part of his mitzvah of nazir. And therefore, v'dayti amashtu, and therefore his intention was to make forbidden on himself even a small amount of a grape seed. Dilmar, maybe, no, kivin dama shlo eichel, since the wording used was, I'm not going to eat grape seed, daite kazayis. His intention is on the size of an olive, because like we said, achila usually means, according to the chacham, a sheva kazayis. And therefore, we're going to say there's no oath over here, because it does not take effect on the neder of Nazir that he already has in himself. So the Mishnah says, Tashma, come in, let's bring a raya from a Mishnah later on, chav gimel on base. The Mishnah says, if let's say someone says, shvur shlo eichel, I swear I'm not going to eat. Va'achal, and he eats nevelis, or treifish, gotzim, vermasim, non-kosher food items. Says the Tanakhama, chayiv, he's liable for violating his oath. Rabbi Shimon Patri, Rabbi Shimon says he's exempt. Now, says the Gemara, Vavinaba, we had asked, according to the Tanakhama, amai chayiv, why is he liable? For the reasoning that Rabbi Shimon holds that you're exempt, is mushbav oimim har sinaihu. You're already obligated as an oath from Har Sinai to fulfill the Targ mitzvahs, which one of them is that you're not allowed to eat nevela, treifish, gotzim, vermasim. So then how does the oath take effect on them? You're already obligated as the mitzvah, and the shvu is not chal on dvar mitzvah. So of course Rabbi Shimon holds you're exempt from, you're chayiv, of course, for eating nevelas and treifish, but for the oath, you're exempt. How do the chacham hold that you're going to be chayiv? Now, Rav Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon, they had said that the answer to that question is, because you're right, if a person would take an oath directly on the nevelas, treifish, gotzim, vermasim, you can't, you're already obligated, your oath cannot take effect. Rather, it's talking about b'koil dvarm hamutarim and dvarm harasurim. It's, you made a general oath, I'm not going to eat, so included in that are both permitted items and prohibited items. And since it takes effect on permitted items, that you're not allowed to eat even that, so includes in that already all edible items, which includes even prohibited items for a person, and therefore when he eats a nevela, he's going to be violating not only the issa of nevela, but also his oath of not to eat. Rash Lakish, he had said a different answer. He said, no, you don't find that a person can be liable, according to the Tanna Kamma, to violate his oath of not eating by eating nevelas, ella only if he becomes forbidden in his oath in a chatzishir, in half of the measurement, which on that he's not to have taken oath by Har Sinai, which is the share of a kezayis. And how could you have that? How could you have that his oath took effect even less than a kezayis? Only if ibn mefarish chatzi shir v'alib d'rabban. Either, let's say, if you hold like the rabban, the generally an oath is only by kezayis, if he specified, I want it to be even less than the share of a kezayis, which then it's going to take effect even the veil of treifas, because the veil of treifas is the only mushba lev maharsina as a mitzvah, the share of a kezayis. Less than that, that's not biblical. So therefore, if you could take your oath on less than that, if you specified, or ibistam, or even if you didn't specify, valib and Rabbi Kiva, and like according to Rabbi Kiva of our previous Mishnah, the Amad that he says, Adam Oyser Atzman Bekosher that he holds by a Shvua, a person makes himself forbidden an oath, even by a small, minute amount. So those are the two different approaches to explain the Tanna Kamma. Now, says the Gemara to bring a proof from this of Rish Lakish. Now, Vaha Nevela, the case of a Nevela, of a non kosher, an animal that wasn't slaughtered properly, where it's treif. Now that's something which is permitted, prohibited for a person that he already has taken the oath from Har Sinai not to eat that. That's essentially the equivalent of what a grape seed is to a nazir. A regular Jew to a nevela is what a nazir is to a grape seed. They're both prohibited to that person. And what do we see from Rish Lakish? V'taima deparish. And that is, Rish Lakish says that you cannot find according to the Rabbanan that you'll be prohibited in that nevela because of your oath less than the kezayis, only if you specified that I want the oath to be less than that. In other words, and we don't say that even unspecified, we would assume that it was on a mashahu, because, well, you're already prohibited on it anyway. Must be that you were taking an oath on what's permitted to you. No, we don't say that. Haloi parish, if you did not specify, daitei kezayis. According to Rish Lakish, you see that his intention would be on the kezayis, and therefore the shvu would not be chal. So we can infer from that the same thing would be regarding a nazir when he takes an oath prohibiting himself from eating a charetz and a grape seed. It would be, if he doesn't specify, it would be on a share of a kezayis, and therefore the oath would not take effect because he's prohibited already anyway from the neder of his nazirs. But then the Gemara asked, well, based on what we just said, then let's go back and resolve the question that Rav had asked before. He asked, he says, if a person swears I'm not going to eat dust, how much is the measurement? You should resolve that he's only chayiv only if he eats a share of a kezayis. Because navela ka'afar damya. For a Jewish person to eat a non-kosher item, it's just like eating dust, because it's not fit for a Jew to eat. Just like dust is not fit for a person to eat. The time of the parish, and yet you see that the only reason why you're chayiv on a kosher, like Rish Lakish explained for the Tanna Kamma, for even less than the share, is only when you specify that the oath should take effect in that. Halei parish daite kezayis, but if you didn't specify, the share will be kezayis. So seemingly dust, non-kosher, is all the same. It's something that's not edible for a person, for a Jewish person, and yet you see it has to be a share of a kezayis. So it's like, no, it's not the same thing. Afra lav barachilahu klal. Dust is not edible at all. No one eats it. So there we entertain that maybe it's going to be even a kosher. Nevela basachila. A non-kosher item, it's edible, and therefore it's appropriate to say a terminology of eating which requires a measurement of a kezayis. It's only the Ar Yehuda Revi'a Lava. It's only that there was like a lion waiting to pounce on it, which is the prohibition of Hashem on it that said you can't eat it, but it's edible. So therefore there we say that it has to have the shir of achila for edible items, which is a kezayis. In contrast to offer, it's not edible, and therefore we are entertained to say that the issa would be even a kosher, which was Rabbi's question, which was not resolved. I think Mark continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, talking about the Shavuos Bitoy of Shavuos Shelo Eichel. Someone swears, I'm not going to eat. Then, V'ochel V'shasa, he eats and he drinks. Now, although the prohibition of drinking is already included in the oath of not eating, as the Gemara will explain that Shti is included in Achila, still in the Chayv al Achas. So although he did two prohibitions, when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat, drinking is included, and he ate and he drank, he's only going to be liable for one Isser, because it's like eating and eating in one lapse of awareness. Because the drinking and eating are considered one isser. So although he did two acts of eating and drinking, it's like eating and eating in one lapse of awareness, where he's only going to chayev one carbon. Let's say he says, however, shvu shalai eichel vishalai eshta. He says, I swear I'm not going to eat and I'm not going to drink. So that's like two separate oaths. Now, the Gemara is going to ask, Well, what's the difference? When you already swore, I'm not going to eat, including eating is drinking. When then you add on and not to drink, but that's like taking an oath on an oath, which the second oath doesn't take effect. But one thing the Mishnah says is if a person says, I swear I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to drink, the ochel, the shas, and he eats and he drinks, in contrast to the first case, here chayiv shtayim, here he's going to be liable for two, for the eating and the drinking. Another case the Mishnah contrasts is shvuah shlo ochel. Let's say someone swears, I swear I'm not going to eat. The ochel paschit, and he eats wheat bread, upasar, and he eats barley bread, upaskush, and he eats spelt bread. So in the chayiv alach, he's only liable for one iser of the oath of not eating. But let's say he says shvuah shlo ochel paschit, and let's say he delineates and he says, I swear I'm not going to eat wheat bread, upasar, and I'm not going to eat barley bread, upas kusman, and spelt bread, v'ochel, and then he eats from these three, chayim al kol achas v'achas, then he's liable for each and every one individually, because since he specified, his intention was that an oath should take effect individually on each one of these different types of loaves of bread. Which the Gemara is going to ask, wait, how do you know that? Maybe the reason why he specified wheat, barley, and spelt was actually only just that he should exempt himself from other types, let's say oat bread. Because if he would have left it as he originally said, I swear I'm not going to eat, he would have been forbidden on all types of breads. But really, he didn't want to make more prohibitions, he just wanted to specify, wait, when I'm swearing I don't want to eat, I mean wheat, barley, and spelt. But not to make a separate prohibition on each one, actually to the contrary, so that he will be exempt on other types, that's going to be the Gemara's question. Similar type of a case, the Mishnah continues, let's say shvur shle eshta. Someone says, I swear I'm not going to drink. Veshasta mashkan habi drinks many different types of beverages. So again, it's still considered one shvur of not drinking, and the chayv alach is only going to be liable for one. But let's say he says, shvur shle eshta, I swear I'm not going to drink yayin, wine, veshemen, and oil, but vash and honey. He specified each one individually. Vishas, and he drinks them all. Chayav kol achas v'achas is going to be liable on each one individually. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say he says, shvur shlo eichel. I swear I'm not going to eat. V'ochel eichlin she'in ruin l'achil. He eats things that are not fit for a person to eat. Or vishas amashkin she'in ruin l'shti. Or he drinks beverages that are not fit to drink. Pater, that's not considered eating or drinking. And therefore he's going to be exempt. Let's say he says, shvur shlo eichel. I swear I'm not going to eat. V'achol nevelis v'treifish gotzer muslim, which we just mentioned this before, and then he eats non-kosher. Nevelis, treifish, gotzer muslim. So chayiv, then he's going to be liable. Why? Because as we said before, they're edible items. It's just that there's a biblical prohibition not to eat these things. But when he says, I swear I'm not going to eat, well, these are edible items included in that, which are included, and therefore besides violating the isra of nevelis, treifish, whatever, he's going to be violating also the isra of his oath. Now, Reb Shimon Peiter, Shimon says, no, you're exempt, because as we mentioned previously in the Gemara, he's already mushba v'oimer alein, he's already has an oath not to eat non-kosher. So it's like nishbush, that you already have an oath on a mitzvah item, it doesn't take effect, which the Gemara had asked that on the top earlier in this Amid. So how does the Tanakhama address that? Those are two different approaches of how the Gemara addresses that, either through Isser Kail, Uth, or through when he specifies, I want it to take effect less than the share. But that's what Reb Shimon was saying, that you're exempt because you're already prohibited because of the Isra of Nevela and Treva. Continues the Mishnah, Amar Kainim Ishti Nanisli in Machaltayim. Let's say he says a double statement. Let's say he says, I'm making a neder on my wife to prohibit her from having benefit from me in Machaltayim, if I eat today. I mean, if I eat today, then she's going to be prohibited to me based on the Isra of a Kain. V'hu Ochel, and he eats, but what does he eat? Nevelis utreifish gotzim muslim, eats things that are not kosher, that he's not allowed to eat. Still says the Mishnah, everyone agrees, Hari Ishta Asura, his wife is going to be forbidden to have benefit from him because he ultimately did eat that day. Now, even according to Reb Shimon that said you're exempt in the case of when you took a shvur not to eat and you eat nevelis and treifish, the reason over there is not because it's not b'nei achila, it's not edible things. It's just because, like we said, a shavu cannot take effect on the Dvar Mitzvah, as the Gemara is going to say later on, Daf Chav Zayin Min Alf. But of course it's edible things, and he said that if he eats, the kainim is going to take effect. So he did eat, even according to Reb Shimon, and therefore everyone agrees that his wife is going to be forbidden to him in that case as an Issa b'kainim. Now the Gemara explains the opening halacha of our Mishnah, where Amr B'chir Bar Oven Amr Shmuel, he says the following halacha, he says, Shvur Shla Eichel, if someone says, I swear I'm not going to eat, Bishasa, and he drinks. So he says, I'm not going to eat any drinks. Chayiv, he's liable for that violation of the shvua. Says the Gemara, Ibayisim Esvar. If you want, you could say it's based on logic. Ibayisim Ekro, if you want, you could say it's based on the pasuk. As the Gemara explains, Ibayisim Esvar. If you want, you could say it's logic, because the Omali Inish Lechavri, a person tells his friend, Nitem Midi, let's eat something. And what do they do? Va'ayli, they go in, Va'achli Vishasu, and they eat and they drink. You see, when the person says, let's go eat, they mean eating and drinking. So you see, Shti is Bechal Achila. Or v'iba yisei makrof, you want, you could say it's based on the pasuk that shti b'chalal achila, that drinking is included in eating. Because the Amr Shlakish, he says, minayin l'shti yisei b'chalal achila. Where do you find that drinking is included in eating? Shemek says the pasuk in Devarim. Says that you have to go and eat in front of Hashem your God, the place which He'll choose to dwell His name over there. What do you have to bring over there to Yerushalayim? Meister the gancha v'tiraischa, the tithes of your grain and of your tirish. As the Gemara continues, the top of Gimel and Aleph, v'tirish chamahu. What's tirish? That's wine. Uksiv yechalta. And what's the pasuk say? You should do with this tirish and dagan. You should eat it. So you see that drinking wine is included in eating. And I ask the Gemara, how do you know that? Maybe yes, tirish is wine, but drinking, if you would drink the wine, it would not be called eating. The reason why it's calling the consumption of the wine eating is because how you're consuming the wine is through a nigrin, which is a type of a food, a dish. As they brought in the Tesefta in Beya, that if they bring in front of him a nigrin or a ksigrin, we're going to define that shortly, and on that is crushed pepper, and they would usually put wine in there, as it's taught in a brisa elsewhere. So maybe that's how you're consuming the wine in your shlime for your meiser of your tirish. Because the Amar Rabbah Bar Shmuel, he says, a nigrain, what is that? That's maya de silki. That's a type of a beet soup dish. A ksigrain is a maya de kula silki, some type of a vegetable soup dish. But one thing is that it's a dish, it's a food item. So and they, in the anigrain, they would put in wine. So maybe that's why it's calling it achila. But yeah, drinking, who said it's part of eating? Elamah Ravacha Bar Yaakov, he brings Mahacha, a different proof, a passing in the Dvar. It says, you're going to put your money for whatever your heart's desires, meaning when you bring up the Meiser money, you can redeem it. You usually bring up your tithes of your produce up to Yerushalayim. But if it's too much, you can redeem it and bring up the money. Now, what do you do with the money? So the passage says, you put your money to whatever your heart's desire. Babakr, batzayin, bayayin, or bashecher, you could use it for cattle and flock or wine or intoxicating beverage. Now, one of the cases there, yayin, that's chamahu, that's wine. Uksev yichalti, the pasuk says that you're going to eat. There it says the terminology in the pasuk, eating. So you see that drinking wine is included in eating. And that is the Gemara, no, v'demahacha namagdei nigrin. Maybe here also, it's not drinking the wine, it's using the wine in the dish of a nigrin. But you're going to actually be doing an act of eating. That's what it says v'chalti. Says the Gemara, no, but Sheikhar Ksiv, one of the terms there in the Pasuk is Sheikhar, which is Midi de Meshaker, means to say something that's going to be intoxicating, meaning in a way that a person usually becomes intoxicated, which is only through drinking, not through eating. And that asks the Gemara, well, how do you know? But Vidilma, maybe this that it says there in the Pasuk, Vesheikhar, it's not going on the wine. Rather, it's talking about Devele Ke'ilis, which is, Ke'ilis is the name of a place where they would make these pressed figs, which they're intoxicating. And it's an eating, not a drinking. They sound like Linda Brysa. Achol devele kilis. So someone eats these pressed figs of kilis, or v'shasa dvash v'cholav, where he drinks honey and milk. V'nichnas l'mikdash v'avad, he goes into the temple and he does the service. Chayiv, he's liable because now he'll come in intoxicated. And even eating just these pressed figs intoxicates. Maybe that's what v'sheicha refers to, which is a eating. Still, how do you know that there's drinking included in eating? Ella rather says the Gemara gomer sheicher sheicher minazir. We learn a gzeres shava, where it says over here by wine in that pasuk. Of where it says vachalta, eating, it says sheicher. And it also says the term sheicher by a nazir, who is forbidden to partake of sheicher. Now, ma'alahal and yayin, just to go over there, that sheicher cannot mean devele kilis or some other intoxicating food item, because a nazir is only forbidden, he's not forbidden to become intoxicated, he's forbidden from wine products. So therefore, there must be referring, if you're becoming intoxicated, sheicher, through a wine product, it must be through drinking wine. Avkan Yain said here also when it talks about in this pasuk of achalta and it mentions sheicher, it must be referring to through the gzeres shava to wine, where it's the wine that intoxicated. How is that? That's only through drinking, and yet still the pasuk says vechalta. So you see that the act of drinking is included in the definition of eating, and that's why the halacha is that if someone swears, I'm not going to eat, and he drinks, he's liable for the violation of that oath.